My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiber. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock ticks. Gonna put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it. It's there. Hardman. Jackpot.
City. On the Odyssey app.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome in to Sports Sunday on 1080. The Fan. I am Joe Fisher III. I got Jordan Schultz across the glass from me. You're listening on The Fan, the Odyssey app. 99.5 HD2, YouTube, Twitch for the kids. We got you everywhere. We are chilling on this Sunday. Jordan, how you doing?
Happy Sunday. I don't know. It's been a very, very alcohol-filled week.
Oh, yes.
I'm good, but like I'm feeling the effects of it.
So that'll happen.
Not complaining, but just the body might be complaining a little bit.
That'll happen.
Are you ready?
Wait, what the hell?
Hey, that's not me, bro.
What's going on?
Getting hacked into here.
We haven't heard this music in a while. What does this mean?
Oh, I think we know what it means, baby. Ready, get ready.
Oh my God! Bow to the
masters. Break it down.
He's back! Down.
Yes!
Rashawn Taylor, he's back! Woo! Woo! Oh my God!
Stone Cold. Yes. What's up, fellas?
Ladies and gentlemen, Rashawn Taylor is back in the 1080 Fan Studio.
Yes, indeed.
Oh,
what's
my
up,
God. Woo!
What's up, fellas?
I can't believe it.
Good to see you, man. So
man,
good.
Man, I can't either. You know, a little part of me can't believe it either, man. What's up, fellas?
Dude, less than 2 months?
Less than 2 months, yeah.
What a recovery.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Science needs to study this guy. Take samples of his blood, run it through a microscope, and we could heal all diseases with one Rashawn Taylor's DNA.
What do all the kids say? All the, you know, I'm built different, bro. I'm built different, bro.
You have that dog in you.
Yeah, man. Absolutely, man. What's up, man? It's good to see you guys, bro.
Dude, when was the text sent? On Thursday? Wednesday or Thursday?
Think Thursday,
something like that. But
I was holding off.
Rashawn hits us with the "I'll see you guys on Sunday."
Yeah, man.
I'll be back on Sunday.
Hey, listen, man. So
I'm like, whoa.
The doctor. I've been waiting for a little bit to get just like a clearance from my doctor saying when I can go back to work. And they were like, "Well, the 21st is the day you can finally go back to work." I was like, "Well, shoot, I can go back to the station on Sunday then." So as soon as I got that letter, I was like, "Okay. Let's go ahead. Let me text my guys real
that
quick.
That letter? Tell them."
Yeah, so I've
They sent it in the mail?
No, so they sent... Well, they should... Actually, if they'd have sent it in the mail, I think it probably would have been quicker than what I was actually waiting for. Like, the I love the, you know, shout out to all my doctors for over at Kaiser. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much for getting me home safe.
The KP.
Absolutely, man. But just the wait for my FMLA, which is like your paid leave and stuff like that. You know, you need a letter from the doctor that says, hey, he's going to be out from this date till this date.
Yeah.
Well, that kind of never came. And so my employers and stuff were like, well, we're waiting. And I'm like, I did all the stuff. Like, I don't, you know, really know what it is. So finally got that letter on via email on Wednesday. And then it was like, yeah, I think I'm going back, bro. I'm ready to go back. I missed you guys.
Hey, dude, I missed you too. It Absolutely. Was, I like I said to you before the show started, like, again, less than 2 months and you're already back. But that 6-7 weeks, it felt much longer than 6-7 weeks at some point.
It felt like an eternity. And I want to give a special shout out to, man, you know, obviously my family and close friends and, you know, coworkers. But, man, specifically for today, man, my guys here at The Fan just checking on me. So Jordan, Joe, man, special shout out to Danny Morang. Man, Dusty actually just called me yesterday, you know, and he's been – Dusty makes phone calls. Like, not a lot of people – you know, give the phone call, you know,
very gentleman-like approach.
Like, every time Dusty's checked in on me, it's been, you know, a phone call. So shout out to Rob.
That's awesome.
And to Russ and, you know, just everybody. Luke Anderson, you know, my guy, you know, everybody that kind of checked in on me and just to see how I was doing. Man, I really appreciate it. And I really appreciate all the listeners, you know, just for the support and all the, you know, DMs and stuff I received over the last few weeks, man. It's been amazing. So thank you guys so much. I can't tell you how, you know, how my heart is just so full. So I appreciate y'all.
Not only that, but no palsy either.
Man, the palsy didn't wear off until like maybe 2 weeks ago. Like,
God.
Finally, it was like, oh, I can blink and stuff like that. Like,
the last time I saw you, I think it was the Monday before your surgery, you came in to let the boss man know, and we had just seen you the day before. We literally just did a show the day before, and then you come in and the whole like left side of your face, right?
Yeah, you did
right
one side. More show after
I
that,
did one
and
more.
You were holding your face.
Yeah,
that's right.
During like, that show.
That's like, right.
It was
okay.
It was the weirdest thing, man. Like,
you're a champion.
I mean, just imagine just not being able to feel just one side of your body. And you know what? Probably serves me right. I was making fun of Joel Embiid, you know, when he was going through everything, you know, on the ground. You know, all the memes came out, jeez, you know, after she's done. You know what I mean? Like,
a little
all
karma.
All the little, and I was like, man, that's funny. And
here's
then it happened
the situation.
To me. And then it happened to me, and it was not fun at all, man. So I'm happy to be, man, healthy, able to blink with both eyes at the same time, able to chew food, you know, which was definitely a plus. But, see, I came back just a little lighter than I was before, man.
You gave me all the weight.
I lost 26 pounds, or I gave it to Joe.
Damn,
you know,
bro.
26 pounds when I was in there. So now,
yeah,
I don't advise anybody losing weight that way, you know. But if you're looking for a quick fix.
Well, fasting is a thing.
Especially when you do it for 10 days in a row.
No kidding. God.
And with no ice, with no water or no food. Like, it was... Like I said, everybody...
That was post-surgery?
Yes, man. Everybody prepared me for, hey, this is what surgery looks like. This is what it's going to be. This is how, you know, things... This is what to expect. Nobody prepared me for, after surgery, this is going to suck, bro. Like, this is good. This part isn't going to be easy. And
you're just going to have to be lying around playing video games all day? Like,
I couldn't even play. I couldn't even enjoy playing a game. Like, shout out to my guy...
Core for that.
Shout out to my guy Chris in Portland, though, because... If you've ever been to a hospital or a doctor, you know that the TV and your channel selection kind of sucks.
Limited.
Right? And so
I don't think they have Xboxes and PlayStations in said hospital rooms. They should start doing that.
I'll
though.
Go one further. They didn't even have an input for me to change the channel to be able to play Xbox or anything. So my man, Chris in Portland, one of our texters, he decided to just bring me to one of his TVs. And so I got a chance to hook up the Xbox and
that's so cool.
Watch Netflix and Hulu and, you know, everything that I could watch in between there. So
the people in the other hospital rooms, when they're taking their walk with their IV, you know, they walk by your room and they're like, what the hell is
no,
that?
I'll go one further. The doctors, every doctor or nurse that came in was like, where'd you get another TV? I was like, man, just had my friend bring it. That's a good friend, because I guess nobody's ever seen that before. Nobody does it, so.
But it's against hospital policy, so we're going to actually have you
there was
to
no
take
way I was
it down.
Rid of that TV.
No. They need to keep the patient happy and healthy, and I think anything to keep you in a better mood, because it is proven, and Rashad, you were a master at this, staying positive. Now, all those doctors are like, hell yeah. Anything that will work here.
The electromagnetic waves from the console are going to interfere with some of the technology the hospital room.
You got to get rid of this technology.
Sorry, Mr. Taylor.
Get rid of this technology, because there's no way. I was watching. I had a breaking point, and I was in. I'm laying there in the bed, and Wildin' Out is on. It's like 2 in the morning, and 7 straight episodes of Wildin' Out came on, and I was like, I cannot do this. I can't do this. I couldn't sleep.
Mr. Taylor, your cringe levels are off the charts right now.
Oh, my gosh. It was awful. So shout out to the homie.
10 hours of Seinfeld.
Oh, man. Shout out to the homie for just bringing me a TV to make sure I could watch Xbox and YouTube, watch Hulu and YouTube and, you know, all that jazz. So happy to be home. Happy to be here, you know, able to talk some sports, man.
Yes. And that's where I should go to next is the poll question, the Sports Sunday poll question, brought to you by Rashad mother effing Taylor.
I thought you were gonna say
yeah that. I was like, oh, I gotta bleep
dump
it.
Dump button
doop.
Trust me, I want to. All right, this calls for me committing an FCC,
you know, if
violation.
There was ever a time to, you know, commit that violation,
that
I think today would be
just
okay.
Purposely going for it,
I think boss man be okay with it.
Like, no, I don't think he would.
Listen, we'll take the $50,000 hit, Joe. It's okay.
50? It's like $225 for an F-bomb. It ain't cheap.
I felt like maybe really? During this it show is. They would give us a discount. Because, you know, the minimal listing volume of people that are actually paying attention.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to blab to the boss that, you know.
All right, so what preseason feat is more impressive? Okay, we had some pretty cool stuff. Happened,
I guess Caleb Williams' feet are pretty high. I'm just kidding. I'm making a dad.
Oh, that Sorry. Was one. That was one. Which preseason feat was more impressive? Was it the Patrick Mahomes behind the back pass? I don't know if you saw that.
I did.
I don't know how you missed it. It was everywhere. Brandon Aubrey's 66-yard field goal yesterday for my Cowboys.
That was pretty tight, too.
Now I'm all excited for the Cowboys again because of a 66-yard field goal. Was it because of Giants defensive line Elijah Chapman chasing down the Texans running back? And if you haven't seen that clip, that is amazing as well. It's like, oh, yeah, apparently a defensive lineman, you know, chased down a running back. And you start watching it, and you're like, oh, okay, we'll see how he gets it. And then dude just turns on the burners. Big Hoss just running down the sideline. Or was it the Caleb Williams pass to Roma Dunze, where he scrambled, run all over, was a whirling dervish in the backfield, and then just dropped that thing in a bucket? Amazing play. What was the most amazing feat of the preseason at week 2 so far? You can vote on that on 1080 The Fan's Twitter page, X page, whatever you want to call it. Right now, as the poll stands, ooh, I got to submit my vote. You know, I'm going to give the Giants defensive lineman some love, because who doesn't love seeing a big old hog molly running down a running back, chasing him down?
Yeah, and I think we kind of forget how fast some of these DNs and D linemen really, really are. Like, some of these guys are seriously, some of these guys come to the combine running, you know, sub 5:40s. Most of them are running sub 5:40s. And so it's like,
I look up Elijah Chapman on Google, the first thing that pops up is 40 time, 4.85 40 yard dash.
That's a D lineman. Like, I mean, yikes. Like, I'm saying these athletes, and I used this phrase earlier, they're built different than,
they're like Rashad Taylor.
They're kind of like me, yeah. You know, kind of like me, except muscular, much more talented, you know, and probably not as good looking, but can't win them all.
278 pounds, 6 feet, 278 pounds. That's a pretty high BMI on that. Okay. And you're running a 4.85 40.
You're not getting away. A normal Joe isn't getting away from that dude. Like, seriously, like you steal something from the store and he just happens to be the security there, like, you're not getting away from it.
Yeah, you're done.
There's a
wrap. Even my 5.27 40 time, I'm that's not good enough.
You had a 5.27?
Well, that was the claim a couple
bad.
Months ago.
That's
I can run a 5.27.
Yeah, that ain't horrible.
How many times have you ran the 40?
Oh, I mean, I haven't ran it since high school.
Exactly. 5.27? Like, that's
No, that's have not run it since.
Oh, so. I thought you meant like you ran it like sometime within the last.
Do you not remember
bit.
This conversation a few months back?
I do. I thought you ran it again. And
no,
I was like, oh,
actually,
okay.
The other day I was taking a jog around the Newburgh football field. My son was at soccer practice a little bit, a couple fields over. So I was like, you know, let's get a jog in. And they were having their football practice / like training. It was a lot of like just training. Like, we're going to see how far we could throw the medicine ball. We're going to see how far we can carry these weights, stuff like that. And they had a 40 yard dash set up with the lasers and stuff. And they were recording people's times. And there was definitely part of me that was tempting to be like,
let's see where I'm at.
Hey, boys, you mind if I jump on there real quick?
Hey, man, if they're doing that again at some point, you just gotta test yourself and see where you are. That's a good idea.
One of the more amazing feats I saw on that thing, and kudos to the kid for just being out there and giving it his best. But that is the first time I've ever seen a 9 second plus 40 yard dash from someone.
Oh, jeez.
No.
Yeah.
No.
A chubby fella?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, hey, like I said, all credit to him. He was out there. He was practicing. He was with the boys. He's on the football team. He's giving it his best. But even I was like, wow, that's. That's amazing.
I really hope like a coach, and not just a coach, but like a couple of kids, because it'd be nice if there were a couple of nice ones amongst the group, like pull them aside, like, hey, let's show you the correct form on how to run here.
I don't know if it's form that's going to be shaving any time.
Show them a correct diet for now.
Well, yeah. This is what this all of it, but you start with something that's easy. And
it was amazing. Like, as I took a couple laps, like, I went around the first time, and I was like, did they say 9 point? And then I got back around, and then sure enough, I was like, oh, my God. I was like, you know, I wouldn't even be ashamed in that. I'd just be like, yeah, that's right. Have you ever seen a 9 second plus 40? Yeah, suck on that. How do you like that, boys? And then I saw one kid run like a 4.9 something like that, and I got pretty jealous. It's like, damn,
that kid's gonna lose
all his body fat and become like, I don't know, Michael B. Jordan when he's older or something.
I hope so.
So go, how it goes.
So go ahead and vote on the poll question brought to you by Rashad MF and Taylor. Mahomes behind the back pass. Aubrey 66-yard field goal, Kayla Williams pass to Roma Dunze, Giants defensive line, Elijah Chapman chasing down the Texans running back, the big hog molly. But that is the poll question, and we got sports. We got plenty to get to. We have we got preseason action to get to. College football is back almost. There's some things I wanted to get to there as far as players and teams to watch out for. Portland is a city of champions once again. And we got an AFC East preview. I felt like it was only right to do the AFC East this week since Rashad Taylor's Patriots, the AFC East favorites.
Since when?
Wait, what?
My Patriots?
Now, officially now, because you are back. I am claiming that they are the favorites.
Okay. That's so sweet of you, Joe.
It's the positive energy. It's the secret, right?
That's really nice of you.
Rashad Taylor being back, there's just a good aura, good vibes going around, and now the Patriots are going to win the AFC East. Who would have thunk it?
A boy can dream, Kenny. A boy can dream.
Let's get into some preseason action right now. What we saw yesterday, some of the things that are impressing us. Let's see what Rashad Taylor has to feel about some of these rookie quarterbacks and things going around in the NFL since he's been out for so long. Sports Sunday with Joe Fisher. Rashad Taylor back in the flesh in the 1080 The Fan studio.
Yes, sir.
Jordan Schultz behind the glass. This is Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Vancouver Ford text line showing some love to our boy Rashad here. We got an F yeah! Welcome back, dude.
Good
so
luck,
effing
man.
Pumped, and what a sick-ass intro. Bro.
LFG, bro. LFG.
Welcome back, Rashad. Glad to hear your voice. Hope all is well.
Thank
I know
you so
it's
much.
Weird, but for a couple hours a week, you are a part of my life. Power of radio, sincerely. Hope you're doing well, bro. Much love.
Thank you so much, man. Much love to you as well. Glad to be back. Thank you, everybody. Man, love you guys. I couldn't wait to come back.
Also got a reply to the poll question on Twitter page. I can't explain how you make me feel right now. The joy in me is unexplainable. I have made over $100,000 for the past few months through an expert trader. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely one of those spam Twitter pages.
Yeah, we love you too.
Buy this crypto. Buy this stock. What is it? Buy Forex.
Have you ever been waiting for a really important text or email,
yeah,
and then it comes through? It's like, hey, do you want to? You need a part time job? Want to trade some crypto? Like, yeah, man.
Shut up. How many of the Forex people do you know in your life?
Ugh.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do.
Yeah. For people that don't
I
know,
do.
There's a subculture of people buying foreign exchanges and like foreign currencies and trying to trade it for another foreign currency to make money off of it. And
I get one of those texts once a day. And I always respond no, but another one comes back like within like 3 days.
I mean, it's something I feel like is more so in like black culture a little bit, like the foreign exchange. Like I feel like I have seen that a little bit more, like, and that's why I asked, like, do you know anyone personally in your life?
No
we
don't know
none of your friends from high
fools.
School
no we don't know them fools.
You're like, I do, but I'm not claiming them.
Yeah, we
I'm
don't
not...
know them. Sorry.
It is, dude, that whole culture is definitely like a cult. Like, I don't know if you've seen the videos and like clips of that. Like, that is that's some bizarre stuff going on.
I don't think I've seen any videos or clips, but just
I'm sure there'll be a documentary here soon.
Oh, absolutely. Some Netflix is going to make a lot of money off of that one.
Like dudes meeting up in a parking lot to hype each other up and have like motivational speeches.
It's weird.
Oh, yeah. There was one guy I knew from association. He was friends of a friend, and he's made a lot of different career jumps. And the foreign exchange thing was a lane he was in for a little while. And let's just say he is not in that lane anymore.
No, it's not a lane people stay in for very long. You know, usually something weird happens.
All right. So besides cryptos and foreign exchange, we'll stay in our lane here and get to some football.
Let's go.
Week two preseason action, a smorgasbord. Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's go.
The bells always get me horned up.
Horny.
Oh, yeah.
We can say that. The FCC doesn't care about
that. I can hear the horns in this song. Week two, NFL action. Preseason action. By the way, if you want a tasty little betting nugget, just bet the under.
On everything.
Yeah. Every game possible.
Every single game.
I want to say through the first 2 weeks of action that we've had so far, the under is 24-6.
Love it.
24-6. There's two games left to go today. But last week, the under went 12-4. And then so far this week, it's 12-2.
Parlay those unders, baby.
Dude, or just put $10 on every game to go under.
And just see what's up.
You know, just
take your chances.
If you don't want to chance the parlay and just want to, like, win some money, I mean, yeah, you'll lose a couple games here and there, but hell. Yeah,
I'm looking at some of these scores now. I was like, wow. You know,
well, the highest scoring game it wasn't the Cowboys Raiders. There was one that scored higher than that. But the Cowboys Raiders, I think, was 39 points total, and it still hit the under. It was like 40.5.
Yeah. Giants Texans was 38.
And Lions, that was Chiefs under as well.
Yeah. Lions Chiefs was 47.
That total. One went over, yeah.
Vikings Browns 39. Those, I think, are the highest ones of the week.
I think that one barely hit the over. That was one of the two yesterday that hit the over. But that Giants Texans game, the over under was set at 39.5. And so that hit the under.
Bears-Bengals, 27-3, so 30 points there. Not sure what that one was.
Oh, they're all floating around anywhere between 32.5 to 39.5. The only game I've seen with an over-under higher than 40 points is the Raiders-Cowboys game that was set at 40.5.
With Gardner Minshew at quarterback?
God. Did he play yesterday?
Oh, he played like the first three series. He looked awful. It was like watching a stagnant offense that could not score touchdowns. But hey, they got a great rah-rah coach in Antonio Pierce.
Are we ready
to
say the Gardner Minshew is not that good?
Well,
I mean, he's the only backup that we're ever like, man, yes, Gardner Minshew.
Listen.
$10 million man. Minshew lead a franchise.
Minshew mania will do that to you. It's very much like Nurk fever. It's a case that it's hard to shake, right?
Yeah, I suppose.
And then after a while, you can heal. But yeah, that's probably why Antonio Pierce is saying that the Raiders still have a quarterback competition and trying to decide between him and Aiden O'Connell. But I do not want to go there right away in NFL preseason. I want to go with the number one overall pick, Caleb Williams. Mm. Because what is happening with him is very interesting. He is making some insane plays out there. He is looking...
Video game plays.
Yes. He is doing things that we saw him do at USC, running around, improvising, and then just dotting that ball downfield and hitting his receivers.
Stop, Bears.
It is looking pretty damn impressive. I will keep in mind, though, that he completed less than 50% of his passes yesterday, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, 6 of 13.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is the classic preseason trap. Now, the good is very good. The highs are very high. But if you go into NFL Week 1 and you make some really eye-popping plays, you know who made some highlight eye-popping plays for the Chicago Bears?
Who was that?
Justin Fields.
Yeah, he did.
He did a lot of really
cool
things.
He had one or two of them every game.
Yeah, he did a lot of really cool things in a Bears uniform. And then he went to the Steelers because he wasn't that good of a quarterback. So while we love the highlights and what some of the throws that Caleb Williams makes when he is on the run, and then he just seems to get such like torque out of his body to throw that ball downfield and to hit a receiver. Like one of the incompletions was in the back of the end zone yesterday where he was scrambling, running, and right before he got to the sideline, just hurled that thing to the back of the right pylon, and the guy was just barely out of bounds as a receiver. But again, even just that throw is just like, oh my God.
I think the cool thing about Caleb Williams is a lot of guys that, you know, are like maybe run first quarterbacks or athletics, they're athletes that play quarterback, you know, as opposed to, you know,
Terrell Pryor, anyone?
Yeah. You know, as opposed to being an athletic quarterback.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's one of those things. And I think that's what Caleb Williams is. And, you know, we talked about on, you know, that play where he had that pass where he escaped. No, excuse me, the run. Where he escaped the pocket to
his touchdown.
To the right. It's like, man, like that. That looked good.
Well, like, again, he had multiple yesterday, right? It's like he had the one for his touchdown, as you're referencing. He has the one where he passes it to Roma Dunze downfield.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has the one where it was an almost touchdown. And so his... We saw it at USC. When he can improvise, get out of the pocket, his escapability. And I was saying last week to Jordan, if they can somehow channel that in their offense where they're getting him onto boot action plays to where he can be moving on the run and make some passes, I think that will be extremely, extremely beneficial to him. But even yesterday, he had moments where the pocket presence, when things started to break down, he was able to feel that pressure and move around and then make something happen. So that's been my biggest scare and concern of him is how long can he stay in the pocket for until he bails and tries to make something happen rather than sticking in the pocket, you know, and going through his progressions and actually, you know, hitting his second or third option versus, first option, I feel a little pressure. I'm going to just try and make it something happen.
And you saw what he was able to do, you know, with the, you know, the defense coming at him and his line kind of collapsing. That offensive line can hold up just a split second more. You got guys like Roma Dunze that you can just throw the ball at. Because I've been watching him in Hard Knocks, and he looks great, you know, as against those DBs. And so I think you've got a real chance to surprise a lot of people this year. I'm not saying, like, make the playoffs or anything like that, but I think considering the type of quarterback that we've seen Caleb Williams be for his last couple of years in college, the type of offensive players they finally put around, you know, a quarterback to be successful, I think Chicago can be a team that surprises a lot of people.
Well, that's
9-10 wins on the season.
Well, that's what people are hoping for. I mean, when we did our NFC North preview a few weeks ago, I mean, the over-under win total for them, I think, is somewhere around like 8.5. And so that division, you know, outside of the Vikings, is going to be very interesting this year with the Bears, Packers, and Lions. Those three teams alone. The Vikings, boy, what a rough week for them. Now, granted, we didn't know what J.J. McCarthy was going to look like in his first year, but I think there was definitely just this glimmer of hope for Vikings fans. Yeah, exactly. We're going to have to wait a whole year to see him play any meaningful football.
Which always sucks, man, when you have a team that I don't know how well the Vikings and Viking fans expected to do this year, you know. However, when you have a Justin Jefferson and now you don't have a guy to really get him the ball
they got Sam Darnold. What do we?
Sorry, dog. You know, it's it's pretty bad for you. I saw Sam Darnold throw.
That's a no for me, dog.
I saw him throw an interception in the little scrimmage game they had, you know, during practice, and just looked so defeated. So, good luck. And I was somebody that was really high on Sam Darnold coming out of college. Like, I thought he was going to be
a lot of people
elite,
were.
And turns out that he's not. So, good luck, Viking fans.
Hey, maybe they want to throw Nick Mullins out there. I'm looking at their QB depth chart. How about Jaren Hall, BYU great?
Oh, God.
I'd say you go with the BYU kid.
I'm kind of sick.
Why not?
Mediocre quarterbacks in the NFL. I'm getting really tired of them.
Yeah, I mean, and this is kind of honestly what it used to be. There was,
well,
you know,
buckle down, buddy. I don't think they're going anywhere.
Oh, I know. You. Sorry. Go.
When we were all much younger, there was like 10 great quarterbacks, and then there was a bunch of quarterbacks. Like, yeah, he's good.
But
he's
at least okay.
Trent Dilfers in the league.
Hey, Trent Dilfers could run an offense. At least Jeff George could run an offense for multiple teams. All right, there's just so many backups that were better than the backups of today. Possibly even a few starters. I would rather take Jamie Martin than some of the quarterbacks today. And if y'all remember Jamie Martin, that dude dropped back for a pass straight back. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 running backwards. It looked awful.
There's some preseason stuff there. Again, there's a lot more that we can get into, but I do want to dive into some college football. But, God, I mean, real quickly, that Mahomes behind the back pass, dude.
He's not real.
Football.
Like, he's not real. He's like, he's playing blitz, you know? Remember the game Blitz? You know, stuff like that.
Oh,
like,
you can hit after the like whistle?
Not even Blitz. NFL Street.
That's what he's playing. NFL Street. That's what I meant. NFL Street. Like, he's doing behind the back football passes. Like, who does that?
Oh, God.
Patrick Mahomes does.
As if we didn't have enough to worry about with the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. Now we have to apparently cover behind the back passes. Who would have thunk it? I would like to see him try that in the regular season, though.
I think, honestly, I think if he would be successful with it, unfortunately.
All right, let's get to some college football. There was a list, because in sports radio, we love our lists, of course. Top 100 players in college football. Also, I saw a schedule for a team the other day, and it made me think, boy, good luck getting through that unscathed. But also, do they need to get out of it unscathed? We get to that next here on Sports Sunday. But first, Schultzy, Sports Center update. Quick little note here, because we talked about it, was it last week, I believe? Yeah, it was last week. The French Ben Wallace, Gershon Yabusele, the guy who dunked all over LeBron James.
Oh, yeah.
In the gold matchup.
Like 26 points total.
He really smashed him.
Hey, we said, man, he was playing really good in that game. There might be some NBA teams with an eye on him. He has officially signed a one-year deal with the 76ers.
Good for him.
Yeah, 1 year, $2.1 million.
That's good backup for Embiid. You know, energy guy, too. He was one of those guys for that French team that really, you know, well, help them as far as a lot of their toughness and stuff.
Because he's a forward.
Gobert wasn't running up on anybody.
He'll play a little bit more forward. He's not big enough to back up Embiid. So
what's he listed at?
He's probably like, I don't know what he's listed at, but he looked like about like 6'8", 6'9", something
like
that.
That's new NBA center.
Yeah, it's so true. Is there
6'8"?
Is there any recent instance of this happening? I feel like this is kind of a newer age thing of like somebody appearing at the Olympics because now the talent is spread around to so many countries and getting an NBA job now. I don't really remember, oh, that center for Serbia in the 2016 Olympics having an amazing year and then signing a 1 year deal, you know, with an NBA team. I can imagine
a lot of NBA scouts and a lot of, you know, obviously coaches and stuff like that are in Paris watching, you know, the Olympics. Guys probably there to support people from their own teams, you know, that are playing. And so, yeah, I think I'd be looking like, man, what's this guy doing in the fall?
Well, it's very much like March Madness, too. Like,
yeah,
some guys you never hear of for certain schools, and then they go out and they have an insane tournament.
Make a name for themselves.
Yeah, exactly,
yeah.
And earn themselves some money.
I remember, and I think we'd already signed him, but when we saw Rudy Fernandez play in the Olympics against USA, we were like, oh, hell yeah. This dude's coming to Portland? Oh, we're set. Like, and for 1 year, Rudy Fernandez was really good for Portland.
His rookie year was
phenomenal. And then after that, just, you know.
Well, when you think you should be an NBA starter when you're not, that, you know, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, but no, I think it doesn't. I think Patty Mills got another job based on what he did in the Olympics this summer. So, yeah, it's one of those things. You play well, be expecting a phone call.
All right. Damn it. Let's get back to football, okay?
Let's.
Because we officially have surpassed the last Saturday of no college football until January 25th.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes, and I am here for it. Sign me up, inject it into my veins, please. I am so here for it. But can I give you some players to keep an eye on? Top 10 players.
Let's hear it.
Because ESPN, they came out with their top 100 players for the college football season.
I'm looking at that list right now.
A lot of dudes on here. For Oregon, you had a couple players. Dillian Gabriel ended up number 16 on this list. Quarterback for the Oregon Ducks, transfer quarterback. Tez Johnson was number 18, likely to be his number one target. But boy, does Oregon have a few targets.
No, Oregon, I don't think they're really worried about who to throw the ball to.
Yeah, take your pick. Not a player at Oregon State anymore, but Damian Martinez ended up on this list at 46. Now running back at Miami, Mario Cristobal's running back.
Lucky Mario.
Jabbar Muhammad, cornerback for Oregon, former Washington Husky cornerback on this list, and that is the only Oregon players on there. No Oregon State players, but your top 10. Just get your notepads ready, your notebooks, because I think what can get me excited about certain games, obviously, is just certain players.
Yeah.
Like, if the teams I don't care about, the matchups I don't care about, but if I know, oh, this dude I really like, oh, this guy's supposed to be really good, that can get me to lock in into a game that I don't normally care about. But number 10, Malachi Starks, safety of Georgia. I mean, Georgia's going to be a must-watch team this year, regardless of what players are on there. They are the number one team in the country. And I'll get to it here in a second, but their schedule, woof.
Yeah.
Number 9, a offensive lineman from Texas, Kelvin Banks Jr. If you really want to dive into that that NFL draft potential. You know, watch them offensive line play, how they scoot off the ball, if you really want to do that. Kelvin Banks Jr. out of Texas. You also got Ollie Gordon, running back from Oklahoma State, ooh, number eight. Future Cowboys starting running back, Ollie Gordon.
No, not Deuce Vaughn. They're not going to throw him out there this year.
Oh, he will. He'll be scampering all over the place.
He looked decent last night in a couple of runs.
And then he'll get hit by Fred Warner coming across the middle and probably die.
But like Heisman Trophy with the kid that you just mentioned, possibilities coming up this season.
Ollie Gordon II.
Ollie Gordon, yeah. He was killing for Oklahoma State last year. So
17,000-plus rushing yards, or 1,100-plus rushing yards. What a season, 17,000. My God. Carson Beck, who is projected to be the best quarterback this year and a potential top five pick in next year's draft, coming in at seven. Again, if you want to break down that offensive line film, watch LSU, Will Campbell. The one player that did not end up in the top 10, who is a guy for me that it's like, okay, I watch this team because of him. LSU, Harold Perkins Jr. on the defensive side of the ball. He ended up, I think, 13th on this list, 14th on the list. That dude is insane. Like, he is one of my favorite players that I have seen in the college game in a while. So fast, so quick. He can go sideline to sideline. His freshman year as an 18, 19 year old, he was doing things out there that he looked like he'd been playing college football for years. And I don't know what his projection is as far as like NFL goes. If he goes out this year, which I'm pretty sure he's eligible to, because last year was his sophomore year. I don't see how he goes out of the top five, because again, his speed, like, that is a player where it's like, LSU is on TV, I will watch LSU football regardless of what, where they're at record wise, what's happening in the season, as long as he is playing. So that's one outside of the top 10. Harold Perkins, if you haven't watched him play, dude, guy is an animal.
No, and I think there's a lot of, man, defenders that are on this list. They're like, man, he's fun to watch. He's really fun to watch. And you just mentioned, Malachi Starks, you know, somebody from Georgia, and that crazy defense from Georgia. Well, he's been a starter since he was a freshman there, you know. And so there are lots of guys on the defensive side of the ball that you should definitely be paying attention to, because, you know, and really, if you're looking at this list, there's only one quarterback in the top 15. Like, that's Carson Beck, and yeah, everybody else is, you know, 16 and above. So that just lets you know, like, and most of these guys are defenders and offensive linemen, and we don't really pay a lot of attention to, like you said, the offensive linemen's fundamentals and things of that nature, because a lot of people don't really know what they're looking at. Yeah. So, yeah, it's way more than quarterbacks, although a quarterback will be the one that probably won the Heisman.
If you catch yourself watching Missouri football this year, then you better keep an eye on Luther Burden III, number three wide receiver for Missouri. He is number five on this list. Had over 1,200 yards receiving last year, 86 receptions, second team All-American by the AP. Number four, Will Johnson, cornerback for Michigan. Number three, basically a household name at this point, cornerback slash wide receiver for Colorado, an absolute cheat code on NCAA college football 25, Travis Hunter.
He's the Michael Vick of college football.
Dude, just the videos I've seen of that game and people playing with Colorado, they look like he's just unfair.
He's a god. Throw it to his side and it's a wrap. It's pick six.
D tackle for Michigan, Mason Graham, number two on this list. 320 pounder right in the inside, second team All-American last year. And then number one, again, defense heavy on this list, James Pierce Jr., defensive end out of Tennessee. So if you're watching some Tennessee Volunteers this year, take a look at the defensive end. Last year, 9.5 sacks out of Tennessee. That's a great number.
Yeah. That's a great number.
And for college football season.
And it should be noted, Michigan has, you know, two players within the top four on the defensive side that people believe are going to be the best players in college football. So yeah, we expect that Michigan defense to be tough. And if you're an Oregon fan of a team that just went to that Big 10 or the Big 22 or whatever it is now, like that should give you some concern. Just a little bit.
Well, Michigan is going to be a very interesting team, obviously just coming off the national championship, but you don't have Harbaugh And then you're switching quarterbacks. You're going from J.J. McCarthy to Alex Orgie. You still have basically a two-headed monster at running back. And then you have a great defense still. Whether they're able to repeat the success from last year, I mean, remains to be seen. To see them win back-to-back, that'd be absolutely insane, especially after losing Harbaugh. But you're absolutely right. It's like you have two of the best players in college football on the defensive side, and we saw how they looked on defense all last year, including that national championship game where they just put on a tackling clinic. Very interesting to see what they what happens with them. Real quickly, though, on the I mentioned Georgia and their schedule. Listen to some of the games they have to play this year. They start off the season on August 31st, so two Saturdays from now, against Clemson. That is their first game.
It's a tough one. It's not the same Clemson team we remember, but that's still a tough matchup.
Clemson is ranked 14th in the country. That's 9 a.m. Saturday, August 31st. So they got Clemson number 14. This is their conference schedule of teams that they have to play. They have to play at Alabama, at Texas, at Ole Miss. Those are all top six opponents. Alabama's ranked fifth, Texas ranked fourth, Ole Miss ranked sixth, and then they'll play Tennessee at home. But playing three top 10 teams, conference opponents, away from Athens, like, dude, one, good luck getting out of that entire schedule unscathed. But then thinking about it, like, even if they do, we have the expanded playoff this year. So, yeah. And I forget whose schedule I was looking at the other day. Maybe it was Michigan's, but looking at their schedule too, I was like, oh my God, they got to go USC, and then they have Washington, and they have Ohio State and Penn State. Oh my God. Like, you got, that's sucks. Tough schedule. But it then sucks. Again, it's like with these expanded conferences, you're going to have tougher matchups and playing bigger opponents. But now with the expanded playoff, it's like, it's almost like, okay, even if we don't come out of this unscathed, it does not mean our season is over, which I do appreciate that. Like, it doesn't take out the importance of the regular season. If anything, it just gives us a more heightened regular season as far as matchups go. But again, we'll be able to possibly see these teams at the end of the year in the 12-team playoff. But God, I was just looking at that Georgia schedule the other day. Those three away games against those teams, Alabama, Texas, and Ole Miss.
As if the SEC schedule wasn't hard enough, for every team that's there, just even North or South, whatever, doesn't matter.
Well, again, they still play one less conference opponent than everybody else. You can't forget their vaunted matchup on November 23rd against UMass. Watch out for the minute.
Yeah. I am excited to see. It's not like an Alabama light schedule that Georgia's playing this year. You're actually going to have challenges, and you're actually going to have to see a good team, and I feel like this is the format now under the new college football playoff and the expansion with 12 teams. You're going to see good teams get challenged during the regular season. I love it.
Yeah.
Portland. It is a championship city once again. What the hell do I mean? We get to that next here. Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan. Portland is a city of champions once again.
Who won a title?
No, not Summer League. No, not a NBA championship. We got another championship team, baby. Hang the banners. And it happened on Friday night.
First pitch to Connor Stewart. Swung on. Slow roller to short. Bobbled by the shortstop. Run comes in. The Pickles win. Raise those chairs. Rearrange the furniture. Your Pickles are the 2024 West Coast League champions in the most bonkers ninth inning I have seen in some time. They are mobbing each other out past first base. We've already got a dog loose on the field. We got smoke bombs going off everywhere. They are partying here at the walk.
The Pickles, baby.
Right.
Woo!
All right.
That's rocking out with your pickle out in a championship game. A walk-off win for the 2024 Portland Pickles. We back, baby. Yeah. We up. Portland's up.
That's what's up. Pickles, go ahead, man. You know, that's a cool Pickles bar on
Mississippi.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Been there once, I believe it was. But yeah, man.
It's got the Tom Brenneman quote up those stairs.
The question is.
So what's next?
Has Rashad Taylor gone to a Pickles game yet?
Not in a long time.
Long time? Like ever?
I have been to a Pickles game. Oh, okay. Yeah, I've been to one. But it was cool. Listen, I love like any minor league baseball. Like anything that's not the majors, like there's a bit of a...
This is collegiate wood bat summer league. This is not MLB affiliated minor league.
Tomatoes, tomatoes. Like, no, but just it's anything like that's Cod not summer anything league, that's yeah. not the pros. Like there's a different kind of feel to some of these baseball games and stuff. And so I used to work for well, at that point was PGE Park, and so I would be there for all of the Beavers games.
Oh, you know, see, that was awesome.
All the time. Like, and those were some of the most memorable times of my, you know, summer is being able to either work at those or be at one of those games when I had an off day.
I miss those.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Portland Beavs. Yeah. I loved going to PGE Park. That was one of my favorite things to do when they had the team there. My dad, he used to work at a bar across the street as a bouncer.
Yeah.
Used to be called the Bitter End. And so, yeah, I mean, we would frequent the bar, sit away from the bar, and then we would go to the games. But if you haven't seen clips or videos of the Walker Stadium and the Pickles game from the other night, it's this weird like catch 22 because what the Pickles have as far as environment, vibes, everything going on with that team, that stadium, that fan base, it is one of the coolest, most fun time. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. I love everything that's going on. There's part of me that's like, keep that. I don't want that to leave. It's so unique to Portland, like us rallying around this team, this college team out at Walker Stadium, where I don't know what the max amount of people you can have there, but it's just very intimate. And there's part of me that's like, all right, now take that video footage of that game, of the celebration. There was a pregnant lady out on the field after the game, for God's sake. Dogs running around. It was bedlam. It was insane. Take that video and send it to MLB and show them and then ask them, like, you don't think an MLB team would work here? You don't think the city would rally around an MLB team? But again, there's part of me where I'm just like, what the Pickles have and what that is it just kind of like an outlier and unique in its own makeup where it's like, you know, just appreciate it for what it is. But when I go to Walker Stadium, when I see the game, when I see that type of environment, when I see the reaction to them winning the championship, there's just part of me I'm just like, really? And they think like, and we don't want an MLB team out here. We're worried about where the stadium's gonna go.
Listen,
because it seems like people go to Walker Stadium and find the parking around that place regardless, and they make it happen.
There's no more fun in Portland until it's hot. Like when it's warm outside, that's the best Portland that you're going to find. And so baseball games, all, you know, usually warm weather, you know, out there. I mean, mind you, if they start in what, April, I think is when baseball starts. So it might still be a little cold here, you know, in Oregon. But these summers, you're talking about a full house pretty much every night, you know, if you're talking about bringing a baseball team here to Portland. So the only bad side is you would lose stuff like the Pickles. I think if we did have a major league team here in Portland, some things would be sacrificed, like the Pickles. You know, like what would be the point of having that if everybody put all their eggs into the, you know, Portland A's basket or, you know, whatever it would be. So, I mean, I personally would go to much, much more Portland baseball games than I would for, you know, a Pickles game.
I mean, it's funny, Rashad. I think you say you went a long time ago to a Pickles game. I think I went like year one, you know, so it was just starting and it was nothing like it was now. And frankly, like night and day, thankfully, they were able to grow that into something that's awesome. And the social media boosts have helped, but just I don't know if Portland is really meant to support like a plethora, like three major teams, you know, NFL, MLB, NBA. But the Portland Pickles are perfect for Portland. You can fill a 1,000-seat stadium. It doesn't have to be in the heart of downtown, but it can still be downtown in a neighborhood, and it's successful. I don't see it really like needing to get better than this. This tops, right?
Well, no. I mean, give me an MLB team any day of the week. Now, yeah, but what I love about the Pickles, though, is because, as I mentioned to you, like they're not MLB affiliated, Rashad. Mm-hmm. So what they can do and get away with as far as like promotional nights.
Everything.
And yeah, essentially. Everything. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Everything that they can do out there at the Walker Stadium. Like that's what makes this team and the environment and the organization so fun. And it's part of me that I do get it, Jordan, in a sense where it's just like, you know what? I'll just take my pickles and I'll be happy. Like, we can get out to games. We can make it happen when we want to. Now, I will say, if they can implement a pitch clock, because those games run a little long.
Yeah, they might need to implement that. Because, well, also, isn't there a noise ordinance in the neighborhood, too?
I believe so. Like, I remember earlier this year.
Come on, Walker Stadium.
I think their lights got shut off
at like 11 or something like that.
Yeah, at one point. So.
Yeah, I think there would be a perfect way to implement, like, that kind of thing. And also save,
save face
with the neighborhood.
Well, just wrap it up. Wrap it up if you can.
Getting kids home in 2.5 hours, I think, is important, too, because kids do. Seriously, guys, it's like, okay, Timmy needs a nap. Let's get the hell out of here.
Hey, I asked my son on Thursday. I was like, hey, Pickles got the championship game on Friday. Like, did you want to go to that? I was like, I know it's, going to be a long night. Like, the game would wrap up around, 10:30, and then we would have to go back to Newburgh from Walker Stadium. I mean, that's at least an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're getting home at 11:30, midnight, something like that. And he was out on it. I mean, the kid's got to play Fortnite, right?
Hey, man. Roblox
God forbid,
play itself.
He misses a night of Fortnite. But yeah, I mean, there's just one. Congrats to the Pickles and the organization. Parker, Jeremiah Coughlin, their PA announcer, Joe Simons, and of course the players. I don't know any of the players' names. I probably should. But the entire organization team, kudos to them. And I can't wait to get back out there next year.
No, you know what? I'm going to go next year as well. Like, it's been a long time. Like I said, I always had a good time when I went to, any Pickles games and stuff like that. So, yeah, why not get out there? Congratulations to the Pickles, though.
Rock out.
We need
with
something.
Your Pickles out.
We need something to be happy about here in Oregon. So, thank you so much.
So, Portland is a championship city once again. Hang the banners, baby. WCL champions, Portland Pickles. All right, hour number two coming up. Rashad's AFC East. It's time to preview the Dolphins, the Bills. The Patriots, the Jets. That's going to be an interesting division this year, especially with the three teams that should be competing for the top of the division. And then maybe Rashad Taylor's Patriots have a little fight in them this year.
They don't.
No?
That's cool.
The fighting Gerard Mayo's. Woo.
AFC East, hour number two, Sports Sunday, right here on 1080 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.